This is Nattering with E with your host, Eric Friedlander.
What up, world? It's your boy E letting you know we are now proud members of the Visionaries Global Media family. That's right. Catch us Wednesdays on Visionaries Global Media.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
This week on Nattering with E, we're going a different direction, as if you've been with Nattering with E for the last 8-ish years in different incarnations, you'll know that while we were on SoundCloud, I was doing stuff with good pal Neil Jordan. Neil's been a friend for a long, long time. We're talking about films, we're talking about songs, anything that we can shoot the breeze about. There's no better friend to do something like this with. So today we're going to be talking about one of the greatest rock bands of all time, Radiohead.
What up, world? It's your boy E coming at you from the Nattering with E Studios. Today, I'm joined by a special guest as Neil Jordan from The False Nine and also a much earlier version of Nattering with E stops by to talk about one, if not the greatest band on earth, Radiohead. Since both Neil and I could talk about Radiohead for 18 hours at least, we've decided to attempt the unenviable task of trying to narrow down our top five favorite songs. As Neil noted on Twitter, I refuse to call it X, the top five might change throughout this episode. As always, let us know in the comment section below or via social media, E_Freeds on Twitter and at Nattering with E on Instagram, what songs you love by Tom York, Ed O'Brien, Phil Selway, and Johnny and Colin Greenwood. So Neil, what is going on, man?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me. This is a great topic. I love Radiohead. I actually saw them at my last Oshaga in 2016, yeah. And after that, I was like, you want to know what? I'm good. I don't need to see anyone else. I've peaked. But they're awesome. They're awesome. And yeah, one of the best discographies. And it's been a while since I've gone through the discography. It's pretty good. Like everything is, there's nothing terrible. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing terrible. Like everything is like, you know, groundbreaking to like, you know, above average at least.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. We were talking off air about how we both pretty much have listened from like early 90s to about 2007. And then like the newer stuff is like one or two songs, but like the newer stuff could even be called like older stuff because like they haven't come out with a record since 2016. Because they have like all these side projects and stuff like that. So
yeah, and I mean their side projects are pretty good. Like there was the one with Tom York. What was it? Tom York and oh my god, I should have this.
John Frusciante or something?
No, it was Tom York and one sec. I'm gonna do some quick research here. It was Adams for Peace.
Yes.
Flea was on that album. Tom York's done a bunch of solo stuff. Johnny Greenwood, I think, has won like Oscars or Emmys or something for scoring stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and yeah, no, and I'll give shout out to Phil Selway. He's we'll get into it, but you know, what underrated drummer, doesn't do too much, but like fills in where he needs to.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
And Colin's good too. Like there's just like they're a good band, but obviously driven by Tom York and Johnny Greenwood.
Yeah, yeah, because I always thought that too, that it's like driven by Tom and Johnny, but like Ed O'Brien's done a lot of like more solo stuff recently, yep. Like under EOB, mm-hmm. where it's like it sort of felt to me, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but it felt to me like when he started going off solo, he wanted to be like, look, Tom's not the only guy and Johnny's not the only guy who can like branch out. It's like, it's like in wrestling when they try to push the third guy in a stable that just fell apart. and to be like the champion. So he's like, I'm more than the third guy, I'm the champ. It's like,
No, I like that. And thank you for, throwing in wrestling references. I know that you do a lot of wrestling stuff. I don't really watch wrestling anymore, but when I do tune in, I'm just like, it's exactly the same. Like, it's been the same since I was a kid. You know, and I'll still tune in. I do still tune in for the pay-per-views, like, you know, your WrestleManias and your SummerSlams and stuff, just because, like, it's wild how on big wrestling nights, how crazy Twitter is. Like, some of the best Twitter nights have been, like Monday nights. Like Twitter, and especially like Black Twitter, like, it's popping on. And I'm just like, where is anybody watching wrestling from now? Like, but yeah, no, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I went to this thing a couple weeks ago. One of the wrestling promoters here, he somehow got, do you remember a place when you were in Toronto called Video 99?
Name sounds familiar.
So it was sort of like a mom and pop version of Blockbuster.
Okay.
So essentially this guy grabbed like all of their wrestling tapes when they went out of business, and then he converted it to like a massive library on his computer. So once a month he puts out on Eventbrite, like, anybody want to come to this bar, I mean this brewery, and watch wrestling from like the 70s or 80s or 90s. So so when I went, he showed WrestleMania 4 where Bret Hart breaks the trophy after Bad News Baron throws him out of the battle. And I was like, oh my God, WrestleMania 4, like, good stuff.
That's great. Yeah, no, most of my, like, I'm going to say from age like 6 to like, I'd say even like 12 was just filled with wrestling tapes. Like, my weekend money would go towards like wrestling tapes and candy.
Yeah. I remember hating like Bret Hart for tying with Luger in the 94 Royal Rumble. Like, I thought, like, I was all about Lex Luger in 1994. Seeing Bret keep getting that push, it reminds me of like more recently when like John Cena or The Rock come back and then they're automatically in the main event. It's like, oh, come on, man, like, push Lex Luger. So
is Rock going to be in the main event at WrestleMania? I'm assuming that's what he's coming back for.
They announced it. So night one, he's going to be it's him and Roman Reigns as part of the Bloodline, quote unquote. Versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
Okay.
So
yeah, see, now I'm aging myself now, but damn it, like, what, two nights? Like, I can't do two nights. I can maybe do one. And they're each like, it's like 7 hours of content.
It's insane. It's insane.
Although I suppose, though, it's wild expensive, so you get what you pay for.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's still only like $50 if you pick it up on pay-per-view.
Oh, okay. I'm still not paying for it.
There's this promotion up here called Smash Wrestling where they're doing this thing called Smash Palooza on both nights of WrestleMania. And so you go watch their wrestling card from two to like six.
Yeah.
And then you can stay there and watch the WrestleManias for free with the wrestlers.
The card. Wow. Yeah. No, that'd be sweet. Yeah. So, no, man. That's great.
Yeah, so I was like, ooh, $58 for, I mean, $40 for that, sweet. Then they're like, here's all the fees that you get plus the PayPal fees. And then it comes out to like $56, and you're just like, this is like paying for the pay-per-view at my house.
Pretty much, exactly.
Here's a question before we get started on our top fives. What do you think, which song from Radiohead do you think would be like a good wrestling theme? Like, if you were a wrestler, which Radiohead song would you use?
Shit, that's a good question. Off the top of my head, I'm going to go Body Snatchers.
I was thinking the same one, actually.
I'm going to go Body Snatchers. It's like, you know, that's a rockin', like, you know, all of my songs here, again, and we were talking before we came on air, like, I did a deep dive on, I think you asked me to do this on, like, maybe Wednesday, and I think on Thursday I was like, all right, listening to 8 hours of Radiohead, holy hell, was that a long work day? I was sad at the end of it. Like I just wanted a hug. Like it's very, you know, it's not dance music, that's for sure. And well, on like Adams for Peace and Tom York's later stuff, and even in some of the radio, the later Radiohead stuff, like you know, House of Cards, Lotus Flower, like they, you know, they tried to get a little bit more, but you know, by and large, Radiohead ain't gonna get you to go to the dance floor. Like, you know, you need to sit in a corner with a blanket and put the like put garbage bags over your windows and just feel it. Just feel it real, just feel it in your soul.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like, why are you guys crying? Oh, listening to In Rainbows.
Oh, it's funny, like when I saw them at Oshaga, like I basically I'm gonna say like I cried at least twice. And like I basically just sat on the ground, like I wasn't standing up. A couple of my friends went down into like the sea of people, and I'm not really here for that.
Yeah.
But I found a nice spot on the hill, and I could hear them perfectly. You can see them on the video screens. I really don't want to see what they're doing anyway. I really don't care. And yeah, I just basically sat there and like felt sad with like 50,000 other people for like. Yeah, like an hour and a half. The concert's on YouTube too. Watch it. I watched that as well. Felt less sad because I was there, and it just brought back good memories. But also too, it reminds you like Radiohead's a good like band. Like, you know, they're not like these hits, like, or like the hits like Karma Police and Paranoid Android, all that. But like, you know, watching them, they are a good band. Like they sound good live. They, you know, they know what they're doing. Obviously at this point they should. But yeah, watching that reminded me of like how good of a band they are.
Well, I mean, hearing I've seen the YouTube like live version. I think it was from Lollapalooza 2016 where they played Burn the Witch.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds like a production, you know. It doesn't sound like anybody missing a note or anything like that. It just sounds like if there's perfection in a performance, that's them basically.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you know, I, you know, before we started, you know, still always like rest in peace to that sound tech who died in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
We were, you know, I was living in Toronto at the time. I think people came from Nova Scotia, where I'm from. People drove up from there. I think people came up from like out west as well. And we were all in my friend's backyard having drinks and getting ready to go. And then on Twitter just started popping up like, I don't think this concert's happening. And then slowly the story started filtering out what had happened. And yeah, so, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't get to see them. I didn't get to see them eventually, but you know, at the end of the day, someone died and you know, that stinks. So rest in peace to him. And I guess shout out to the LCBO right by my friend's house who got all of our money after the show got canceled. Cause we were like, well, nothing else to do now. It was a summer day. So, and it's 4 o'clock. So like, yeah, that LCBO, like they got a lot of money that day from us.
That was at Downsview Park, wasn't it? Where
Downsview Park, yeah.
I work right by there now, so I'm just like,
wow. Oh, okay, that's up by there. Yeah, no, that's that's a trek.
yeah, it's a mission, man. Like, thank God for a car. So, before we get started, earliest memories, like, how did you come across Radiohead to begin with?
A friend of mine liked them, and. Was around, like, I always knew that they were like a thing. Like, you know, the bands came out in 1994, so that would have been grade 10 for me. So I knew that Radiohead was a thing, and even when OK Computer and Kid A came out, like, I knew they were a thing. It wasn't probably until like Hail to the Thief that like I got into them. Mm-hmm. And like listening to, yeah, my friend was into them, so it was like, listen to this. It was like, wow. And I was also, this was all around the time where I was probably listening, like I used to be a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Hail to the Thief was 2002, 2003. I was getting into a lot more, like I was listening to a lot more electronic music at that time. So, you know, when I listened to Kid A and OK Computer, it was like, oh, rock music with like electronic music. Interesting. And I've always had a very kind of varied musical background. Like I grew up listening to hip hop. My mom was listening to Motown. And then, but as I got older, I discovered, you know, rock and jazz and just all kinds of different music, and then started going to raves and started listening to like house music and techno, like all the music that like I still listen to all of this in the run of a day. Like my work playlist lists are all over the place. But yeah, like Hail to the Thief, it's probably like the door into it, like 2003. But you know, I always knew they were a thing because as you know, when OK Computer started getting all of its plaudits in 1997, I was in grade 12. That was my grade 12 year. And you know, when I first heard Radiohead, I was like, the Creep dudes? Dudes who did the Creep, like that song Creep stinks. Sorry, spoiler alert, you're not gonna hear a Creep on my list because it didn't even make my 40 song preliminary list. I've never liked that song. So when people started talking about OK Computer, I was like, the Creep dudes? And then Kid A, it was like, all right, whatever. But like 2003, I kind of dipped more into the work and kind of got more into what they are.
I'm deleting Creep from my list after that one.
No, because it's funny because they know when they played it at the I'm sorry, audience, there will be various thousand drops of Shaga. But like that one that he or where they that I saw them, they played Creep. That was the final song of the night. And that was apparently the first time they played it in Canada since like 97 or 98. They don't like it either. Like they famously do not like it. But you know, it was kind of cool to hear 50,000 people because we all know the words, but I don't know. I don't like it. I think it's mopey and like whatever, y'all can have it.
It's interesting. There's like some other bands too where they have like their songs that made them famous and they're just like, not doing
Yeah,
it.
I hate that
Not
song.
doing
Well,
it. Like
hey man, well, and that's the thing is with Radiohead, like they managed to play that, they managed to get away with playing that. I don't know when they stopped playing it, but they managed to get away with that for like a long time without playing it because they have a lot of other songs that they can play. But like I don't know. Y'all don't like it, you don't like it, but it was a cool moment. And I get what it represents. Like, you know, that was a very angsty time and you know, I get it. I was just like, yeah, I don't know. Puff your chest out a little bit. Like, walk a little bit taller, damn it. Stop being
It's
mopey.
like how you hate Goo Goo Dolls, and I can put up with them.
No, but you know what? The Goo Goo Dolls keep popping up randomly in like shows and all that stuff. I think maybe it's because like my age group is like the market buying group at this point. So like we're hearing songs that like are in movies and shows and like in ads and I'm like, shit, I'm old. I guess that's where we're getting. I guess that's where we're at now. Like I'm the
I remember because we also love the Black Keys, so
Yes.
I remember talking to you like one of our very first like in-person conversations because remember we worked together for a short time, but like we were just through emails.
Yes. Yes.
So
Yes. Yes.
those days. But I remember we were talking about the Black Keys and how they had come out with an interview because apparently a bunch of their songs on one of their al albums were in commercials and people were telling them like, "Oh, you're sellouts." And it's like, "Sorry, we wanted to get paid for what we're
Hey
doing."
man, like I'm sorry, like I listen, I wish I could write something that would sell. I would listen. The selling out I would do would be on plaques and walls everywhere. Like listen, I don't mind it from people who like you know and like even the Black Eyed Keys, like or Black Eyed Keys, but the Black Eyed Peas, because they were a really good band. And then you know they sold out, they straight up sold out. And some of their stuff, like you know, for pop music, it's good. It is what it is. You know, but I know that there's talent in there. I know you can do it, but hey, man, some people just want money, and what are you gonna do? Like we all want it. A lot of people who are like you sell out in a bad connotation, like oh, it is bad. They would do it. They would do it in a heartbeat. Like and the vast majority of like if you gave the population truth serum, if they could write a song like Taylor Swift, bruh,
Oh, yeah,
like like put.
100%.
Yeah, it is, but it is. That's just the society that we live in.
I remember hearing about like everybody hates Nickelback for some reason. I don't know why, but like apparently they that one song How You Remind Me, the one that put them on the map. Same deal as Creep, where like they hate playing that song.
And yo, like, you want to know what? No bullshit. Can I swear on this?
Yeah, of course. Of
Okay,
course.
cool. I think I may have already sworn.
That's fine.
Yeah, no bullshit. I love Nickelback.
Oh, they're so good. They're
There's like
so they're so good.
it's good. Turn your mind off. Like, it reminds me of a time I was going to college. I worked at a liquor store here, and we listened to the radio like all day long. So it reminds me of like it's just mindless radio rock music. You're not looking to, feel deep feels or anything. And maybe it connects with it connects with a lot of people like that. For me, it's just dumb, mindless rock music. And I've always had this argument, man, like, don't sit here and tell me when that Nickelback is bad when old three chord having AC/DC is out here being popular. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. If there's room for AC/DC, there is room for Nickelback. God damn it.
I feel that way too. And like, I have friends on this one Discord where we talk a ton of music, and they're like, AC/DC rules. And I'm just like, can't do it, man. Like, I was trying to listen to Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, which is a great album, don't get me wrong. But like, I was like, I don't know, man. Can't do it. Can't do it at all.
No, I mean, I like Back in Black. I'll always like Back in Black is dope. But like, just listen to one of their albums, and it just sounds like variations of the same song, and that's cool, and that's fine. Like, it's like they do it well. People like it. That's cool. Nickelback did the same thing. Like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Like, so, it is what it, but then, you get to bring it back to Radiohead, then you get, where stuff sounds like unique. Like, you might listen to in an album like four different types of albums.
I was thinking, honestly, going through this, we could literally do an episode just on OK Computer. Like,
Crazy.
there's so much to dissect from that album.
It's easy. Like, for me, like, Radiohead is kind of like four like eras. You have Pablo Honey and the Bends. Pablo Honey, going back to listen to that, I hadn't listened to that in forever. Not bad. It's pretty good. It sounds like a lot of other rock bands at the time. So like, it wasn't anything to make you stand out. The Bends takes it to another level. The Bends is real good. I surprised myself. I was like, shit, I've got like six songs off the Bends off my. I did a 40 song preliminary list just off the top of my head and looked down, there were six songs from the Bends. And then, so that's one era. Then OK Computer and Kid A, and then Amnesiac, Hail to the Thief, and then basically in rainbows to wherever we are now.
I agree with that for sure.
OK Computer and Kid A could really just be a double album.
Oh yeah,
Like, they really could,
100%.
they're really just going to put it all out and just side A, side B, because, and yeah, we'll get into it, but like, there's a flow to both of those albums where like it just makes sense. It reminds me of, albums like A Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders, and The Low End Theory. The first volley of Wu-Tang records. It's
Yeah, I'm just looking. So I'm also looking at a separate screen. I'm sure you got your notes on another screen too.
Oh, I've got a second screen and I've got my phone going.
So I'm just looking at Kid A, and I love. Do you want to do honorable mentions first, and then the top five, or do you want to do top five then honorable
I'll go
mention?
honorable mentions first. Break out the honorable mention. I've got six of my honorable mentions. But I mean, I can, honorable mentions could have been like another 25. So like, do you just want to go one for one?
Sure.
All right. Go ahead.
So my first honorable mention is Burn the Witch, which
Okay, yep.
I found that to be like one of their I honestly thought like if I was making like six, it would be number six on my list. Like it's such a good song, and the production behind it, the music video alone is just worth going out of your way to watch for that. Rest of the album not too fond of, but like that one song, I'm like, wow, unbelievable.
Burn the Witch, because that came out on A Moonshade Pool. But that's one of those songs that was that and Bangers and Mash,
Oh yes.
True Love Waits. Like those are songs that had been, they've been working on those songs since like the LimeWire like Napster era. Like that's one of those songs that almost like lived in lore on like the lost days of like Napster and Audio Galaxy and stuff like that. So they finally came out and like they were like, all right, and A Moonshade Pool, like, Burn the Witch, it starts with that, and True Love Waits, it ends with that. Neither I they're in my larger honorable mentions, but yeah, they've been it's cool to hear the progression from like where you started hearing it, like, because the version of Burn the Witch on A Moonshaped Pool sounds kind of different from what I remember from like the early 2000s found randomly on LimeWire version. So but yeah, no, that's a good chat.
What's your first honorable mention?
My first honorable mention is, I guess my six would be Karma Police.
Oh
Yeah, Karma Police, great song. Like, and it could have easily made the top five. It's one of their big anthemic songs, like stadium songs or stadium songs, where everybody's got candles and hands are swaying in the air and all that good stuff. And but yeah, it's just a really great song, and the video was awesome. The video is awesome.
I like that they have gone out of their way to be like, the song is good, but also the music videos, they want to show off their artwork and things like that too in those videos. So it's nice that they like balance it out that way, I guess is the best way to put it.
No, that's a good shout. Like, you first see that video and well, what's it, man, like, leave that man running down the street, what are you doing? And when he turns around and he lights that match and drops it on the ground, I'm just like, this is what you get, let's go.
It's great. It's great.
Oh, also too, I'm probably going to sing terribly a couple times, so sorry y'all.
Another honorable mention for me is Present Tense. I just found that song recently and I was like, this is fantastic stuff. There's a lyric in it that really gets me, so I just want to look that up real quick.
What was that at? What was that on?
Present Tense was on also A Moonshaped Pool, apparently.
Okay, yeah. See, Moonshape. Yeah, I think I have one from and actually I'll just go into that. That's my next honorable mention is, of course, my phone turns off. Let's go. Tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. That made that that's the song right before True Love Waits. And it just sounds like there's guitars and it's probably like 3 full like minutes of just like a droning, like two notes going back and forth while Tom York does what Tom York does. And look, I like Tom York. I think he's a great musician. I'm not one of those people who like the lyrics aren't deep, meaningful, whatever to me. I'm more impressed with how he uses his song or his voice as a like an instrument almost to fit the song, like to kind of almost accompany the song. A lot of his lyrics though, like, for me, like, I love Pearl Jam. I have no idea what Eddie Vedder be saying. Love it. I love Nirvana. Don't really know what Kurt Cobain be saying. But like the music sounds good. And like they kind of use their voice to like accompany the music, even though they're the lead singer.
Have you ever seen the In Basement series where they're
Yeah,
There's a couple songs there. I think Bangers and Mash was one of them, where like
Oh yeah.
he's singing the lyrics or whatever. The rest of the band is jamming, but like Colin plays bass, right? It's Colin on bass and Johnny on guitar. Colin literally looks at Ed, and Ed just looks at him like, I don't
Just like, are
know.
we still going
Yeah.
or?
He's like, I have no idea what he's talking about. We're just doing this here. So
All right, you're up.
okay, so the line that I found from present tense, the one that really like sticks with me in it is stop from falling down a mine. It's no one's business but mine. And I'm just
That's
like, oh
fair.
my God, that is so deep.
Oh, actually, that's right before Tinker Tailor, that whole song that I sang.
Yeah, Tinker Tailor Sailor right there.
A lot of the song, like, that's just a song, like, I just like how it sounds. It's just two kind of droning notes going back and forth, and then eventually they add more instrumentation to it.
Yeah, another one for me is I Might Be Wrong. Like, I love that song. I
I
love
Might Be Wrong is good.
the intro to that song, 'cause it's sort of you don't think it's I mean for me at least, I didn't think it was Radiohead. Like the first time I listened to it, I was like just the way that the guitar was like ringing. I was to do the intro, like it's like ba bum ba ba bum ba, and I'm just like, who is this? This is amazing. And then my Spotify is like, this is Radiohead. And I was like, what? Amazing. So yeah.
No, well, like low key, like Amnesiac, like real good. And I mean, you could really say like the stretch between OK Computer, Kid A, Amnesiac, Hail to the Thief, and if you want to include In Rainbows, I'm In. Like Radiohead was Barry Bonds in, like, San Francisco Barry Bonds, steroids Barry Bonds. Like they were this hitting balls into the lake left and right. Like Amnesiac, I think, deserves to be up there with Kid A and OK Computer. It's just OK, OK Computer has like the hits, like the big anthem songs. Like Kid A also has, it starts off kind of anthemic and then kind of goes into what Amnesiac ends up being. But yeah, Amnesiac has some bangers.
What's your next honorable mention?
We Suck Young Blood from Hail to the Thief. It's basically Tom York playing on a piano for, I don't know, 4 minutes, and the lyrics are very, Hail to the Thief, I think, for me, it fits more of the feeling of dread that I see people write about, like Kid A and even Amnesiac had. No. And Hail to the Thief was a terrifying album. Like, are you hungry? Are you sick? Are you begging for a break? Are you sweet? Are you fresh? Are you strung up by the wrists? We want the young blood. Like, it's, and the way that it's just like you listen to it, it's a terrifying song. But and then at the end, there's like a little bridge where like pianos come in and drums, and they go crazy for a minute, and then he warbles on. It's a great song. It just fills you with this sense of like, oh shit.
Yeah, I agree with you for that specific song. I'm like, what is he doing? Like, this is like I'm into what he's saying, but I'm also like fucking petrified. So
Like, this is a song where you're just like, I am terrified by what's going on right now. And
yeah.
but also too off the song, and it didn't make my honorable mentions, but my Osmosis, song number 12 on Hail to the Thief. I butchered that pronunciation. My Osmosis. Anyway, shout out to that, because that was on FIFA 2004, I think, or 2005. So I'll always remember that song for coming on when I was playing FIFA, which I was heavy into FIFA at that time.
Have you played any of the new games, the FIFA games? Or...
At work, actually, we have a PS5 that we get into on, well, now Thursdays because everybody's working from home. But if people go into the office, and Friday we knock off a little bit early and go into the lounge and have a beer and we play FIFA.
Nice.
And we haven't in a while, but it's a great, like, the controllers haven't changed. Still a very basic controllers. Like, there's a player you can. The controllers have evolved, but I'm just like, I'm sticking to what I know because you can do all these other things, but you end up getting like housed by the people who have that and like know how to use it. So anyway.
That's great. Body Snatchers was another song that I was
Have that as well.
I put that as honorable mention, which like I remember so Body Snatchers, I guess I should replace Creep with Body Snatchers. Spoiler alert for my list.
I'm gonna say no, keep your list away and keep your list. Keep your list. Keep your list.
Because Body Snatchers literally is like a song that just I used to go on like a ton of walks a few years back, and so I'd be listening to like my old dinky iPod or whatever, and to finish off every walk, just by coincidence, Body Snatchers would pop on, and I would get like that one final like push of energy to like keep going instead of get the instead of hail for a bus or something like that.
Or just sit down on the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's one of like, that's it's almost weird. Like there is some electronic elements to it, but it's definitely like more of a rock song than you would heard from Radiohead in a while. And yeah, it was really good. And I think it'd be great for like a wrestler. I don't know what the wrestler's angle would be. That would be I don't know. People get paid a lot of money to figure that shit
Yeah, absolutely. What's your next honorable mention?
out. I've only got one more. Well, I've got one more on the list, but again, I've got 40 to choose from. Just.
Just oh yeah, just it's
Yeah,
great.
and that probably could have been like number seven. Like, I forgot how good that song was. Yeah, and again, like, and we can also name out shout out to your friend on Twitter. High and Dry. Well, actually, when I asked Cynthia, I told Cynthia I was doing this. That's the first song that she said was High and
Nice.
Dry would be up there. And like, yeah, High and Dry is probably in my top like, 12, like 12 songs. And Fake Plastic Trees off the Bends, also great. Nice Dream is good. And Street Spirit. And also for me, shout out to the Paul Oakenfold remix of that. When I was going to raves and stuff, Paul Oakenfold, world famous trance DJ, I think he just runs a label now and has a podcast. But he remixed Street Spirit. And hearing that at a rave at 6 o'clock in the morning, like at 140 BPM, it was something. It was a something.
He remixed that whole song or that whole
The song,
track?
yeah, no, but no, listen to him. Yeah, Paul Oakenfold, or just type in Street Spirit, Paul Oakenfold, you'll find it. Or I think it's called Perfecto Remix, but Perfecto is his record label, so I'm assuming he remixed it or someone in his group remixed it. But it's great. It was one of the top trance songs, and also too, he played the Essential Mix in rate for Radio One, BBC's Radio One. Every month, the year of 1999, and I'll be damned if he didn't play Street Spirit out of 12 months. I'll be damned if he didn't play it 10 months.
Wow, that's
Yeah, so
crazy.
it's a great song. Like go and listen to it. And yeah, it's like kind of big room trance. Like it's good. I would stumble upon that and listen to that. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember dancing to that in 1999, 2000.
Nice. For me, my last one for honorable mentions is Jigsaw Falling Into Place. Absolutely love that song.
Yeah, it's a banger.
I actually discovered it on an episode of CSI New York. They were trying to track down like one of the cops had been shot or like one of the female cops got shot. So whoever she was dating literally like he was wounded, but he was like searching for these guys, and like in the background while he's searching, his jigsaw falling into place.
Okay,
So
okay.
it was like such a good buildup with that song. So it was like, oh my
No,
God.
it's good. Shouts to Gary Sinise. Is that show
Exactly.
still on? I don't think it's still
No, that
on.
one's gone. That one's
Okay.
gone. All the good ones are gone, you know? That's the problem with the shows, but
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't watch any. I used to love those cop procedural shows. I don't really watch any of them anymore, except in 2 days. There's a show called 911. Angela Bassett's on it. It's on CBS or something. And they just keep playing this commercial over and over. And apparently there's a ship sank and shit looks like the Titanic. And I was like, I'm watching that episode. I'll probably never watch the show again, but that shit looks hilarious. And Angela Bassett is awesome. So I'm watching that shit.
It's pretty good. My mom watches that
Yeah,
show, so
yeah.
I just
No.
like I'm more into the like FBIs and the SWATs and things like that, and then wrestling,
Yeah.
of course, always wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay, so our top five favorite songs by Radiohead. So, Neil, since I started honorable mentions, we'll go with your number five first.
Hey, my number five. Where's this? Just 1 sec. My list. Oh, sorry. I was looking at the wrong thing. Number five, Bones, which is on the Bends. It's in between Fake Plastic Trees and Nice Dreams. Or yeah, Nice Dream. And it's a rocking song. Like it's just guitars and drums and Tom York harmonies in the background. Johnny Greenwood's wilding on the guitar. It's great. It's probably the first song that I thought of when I was started doing this list. I was like, okay, well, that's definitely going on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta listen to that one again. I remember hearing it like because we both, for research purposes, we've been going through Radiohead's discography for anyone following along with us. Thank you so much. So yeah, that song I have to go over again, but
Well, I think the discography is so expansive. Like
so good.
you named Past Tense. Past Tense was from the last album that they did, and I didn't remember that. Like there's a you know I named 40 off the top of my head. Like they've got a lot of songs,
That's
and
crazy.
you know, and like you know, Black Star on the Bends, but like
Oh,
Bones
that's
is
a
like a
jam.
nice Bones is like a nice like in the middle like. After you know the Bends and High and Dry and Fake Plastic Trees kind of you know
Bump you the
strength
hell
like
up.
ballads and whatever like Bones is just like guitars and drums like let's go
Yeah, they're like, okay, wake up. Nice.
yeah exactly so yeah that's my number five.
My number five is Paranoid Android by OK Computer.
Okay.
I mean, off of OK Computer, not by OK Computer. Paranoid. So, like a typical person who listened to the classics of Radiohead. The line that gets me in that song is what is of course when he says, "When I am king, you will be first against the wall." I'm just like, oh my God, like here we go, like this is it. So, yeah, Paranoid Android.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, no, that is yeah, no, that's a good call. My number four, and this is where I cheated. I did No Surprises slash Lucky slash The Tourists, the last three songs on OK Computer. And I would put that up with any three song stretch in any album, preferably closing or like especially closing to close an album. That stretch of songs are just right hooks all over the place. And like by the end of The Tourist, you're just like laying on the ground, like in a puddle crying. Like when he's like at the end, he's just like, hey man, slow down. And like Tom York's or Johnny Greenwood's guitar like gets like louder and kind of starts to growl a little bit more, and it's just kind of all goes at like a waltz's pace, but it still kind of has an upbeat to it, except for Tom York doing what Tom York does. But yeah, no surprises. Lucky, The Tourist, and yeah, I would put that up with. That's what I was saying with the Tribe Called Quest comparison. And Tribe Called Quest, I don't know if like any of your listeners have ever are Tribe Called Quest fans. I implore you, listen to Midnight Marauders, one of the best albums of all time. And they've got a stretch at the end, the Chase Part Two, Lyrics to Go, and God Lives Through, where like all three songs, every song like gives you goosebumps. So yeah, I kind of cheated, but I was like, okay, maybe the Taurus is probably my favorite song out of the three, but I was like, I can't leave out the other two. So I cheated and just chose the whole stretch.
No worries. So number four for me, we talked about it, we touched on it earlier. Number four for me was Creep, off of Pablo Honey. I actually like this, like I liked their version, but the reason I like Creep is because have you seen that YouTube, I forget the name of the radio show in New York where Opie and Anthony, I think it was, where they have the homeless guy, homeless mustard,
Oh
singing
yeah, I
Creep.
remember that.
So I'm like, that's why I like the song, because it's just like all the passion that he puts into it
Oh, okay. Yeah.
more than them, basically. But like, because when I think of Creep, I'm like you, I consider it like not even on a top five necessarily, but I'd be you, to me, you can't listen to Radiohead without mentioning Creep in the
Yeah.
conversation, you know?
Yeah,
It's
no,
one of
and
those.
that is completely fair, and like that's why I don't like it, but I get it. You can't like you hit the nail on the head perfectly. You can't talk about Radiohead without talking Creep. It's basically if you the general world, if you ask me to name one Radiohead song, it's probably gonna be Creep, like for better or for worse. So that's that is what it is. So, but as long as that kind of inspires people to go and look at the rest of their discography, that's cool.
I agree with that for sure. I remember listening to High and Dry off of, I think it was a Clueless soundtrack,
Okay.
where like right at the end they were where she
Yes.
realizes she's into her
Yeah.
stepbrother or whatever that is, like where
Yeah.
she and her stepbrother start dating, or
Yeah.
some weird hub Pornhub sort of storyline, but PG version. they play High and Dry at the while they're making out. I'm just like, yeah, Radiohead, hey, I'll give these guys a chance. They're pretty solid.
No, I forgot about that. Clueless. Damn.
Number three for you.
Number three. My number three is You and Who's Army off of Amnesiac. Again, it starts off like the song I mentioned before, We Suck Young Blood, where it's just, Thom Yorke and his, lyrics just come on, come on. You think you drive me crazy? Come on, repeat, repeat. You and Who's Army? And then in the back, he's just like, ooh, it sounds like all ethereal and shit. This goes hard. And warbles on for like 2.5 minutes, and then he comes out on the piano and just like big chords, like it just illum like the whole thing just fills out. And then the ending kind of I guess like verse is just like we ride tonight. It's one of those songs that would be another song that might be good for like a wrestling intro,
We ride
but just
tonight.
the back half of it, like just the basically the part where the piano starts, because everything else like the wrestler would have to like roll to the ring. It take pretty long. I suppose they can edit that stuff, but
It could be the Undertaker's song, because that guy takes like 45 minutes
that's
to
very true. That's very true. But
get
yeah, You
to.
and Who's Army, banger. Again, a lot of these songs are just, again, we mentioned I've mentioned it's not really lyrics, it's how the song sounds to me. Like that's why I like Radiohead. But these lyrics are actually pretty good, and he only says like seven things in the song, so I got this. I can memorize this.
My number three is actually, I'd say, from doing the research, became one of my, like, initially I hadn't heard it, and now it's in my top five because it's like the song that I'm loving. And that would be Electioneering by OK off of OK Computer. That song, just the beat to this thing sounds unbelievable.
That was, I feel like that was a lot, like Tom was like, why don't we do this? Because I think Tom was, if I'm not mistaken, And these guys are all young and British and stuff. They're probably all going to rave. So I'm assuming a couple of them are like, not like rave, like Tom York strikes me as a rave kid. I'm pretty sure he like grew up with the rave. So that was our first like, are we gonna go like kind of fully electronic or, but like, let me, that's why, there's a hierarchy in the group and it's like, okay, let's try this and see how it works out. I would like to know, because again, I haven't, or not again, but I haven't read a lot on like interviews with Radiohead. They don't really give a lot, especially anymore. But I would like to know, what Ed O'Brien and Phil Selway like thought when Tom York came to the studio. Was like, why don't we try this? And it's just like, wait, what? Like, how is it like? But there's drums on this already. Like, where do I fit in? But they managed to find space for everybody to kind of fill their role in the band.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, all of these guys have known each other since they were like 10 years old, basically.
Yeah, what? They went to school together. They met at school.
Yeah, four of them met at school, and then Johnny, they added like because he was like 4 or 5 years younger than them.
Right. Yeah. And that's hilarious how it, well, his brother is probably just like, I'm good, but like my brother, like he knows his shit. And again, like now he's scoring films, and I think I'm pretty sure he's won an award. I'm gonna look that up so I can stop like saying that. But yeah, my number two is, sorry, he was nominated for his score for Phantom Thread.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, he's been nominated twice now.
Nice.
My number two is Paranoid Android,
Yeah, nice.
your number five. Yeah, it remind me of one of those songs where, it's basically kind of three songs all in one. It's almost like a, excuse me, Bohemian Rhapsody, and like, old Beatles songs where it was just basically like, let's just stitch parts of these different songs together, like the first part of the song, and then kind of the bridge where it slows down, and then almost like an amalgamation of the two, or like basically the last version of the song is like a more rockier version of the first part of the song. Let's stitch all of these vignettes together and we'll see what happens. And it worked out pretty good. Like, yeah, Paranoid Android, banger.
Nice. Nice. So my number two is actually 2 plus 2 equals 5.
Yep, that made my, that was probably like my like number like 12 or 13.
Nice. That song just like ha the slow buildup of the story, and like it's coming. It reminds me of a roller coaster to a degree where you're like, okay, this is pretty good, and then like you start going up and up and up and up, and then like when he gets to that like time wasted, blah, 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 and then like it's like as you're dropping down on like drop zone or something like that at Wonderland, it's a banger. Like that song just it's one of those songs where I don't know how to best describe the best thing I can th the thing that pops into my head about it is like when you go to a show where you're like the youngest guy there by 20 years. And people are just there for the classics, and then you're just like, no, watch this, watch this. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. And then that song comes on, and like the chorus hits, and you're just like, see, I told you. I told you it's great.
No,
That's that
that
song, basically.
yeah, no, that's a good song, because at the end, like where it ends up, like you don't think it's going to end up from where it starts, but Radiohead does that with a lot of their songs, like probably shit, 80% of the songs on all of our on our list.
Yeah, exactly. So before we get to our number ones, Neil, plug your stuff, man.
Oh yeah, you can find me at me and my co-host Mike. Shouts to producer Mark and BNV Media in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We've been doing the False Nine podcast. We've been doing it now. We just released episode 140. We do it
Nice.
one. Yeah, it's crazy. And every time Mike does the intro, he's like, this is episode like 140. My eyes get like big. I'm like, oh my God, we've been doing this now. Or I think we started in 2018, maybe.
Wow.
But yeah, no, we've been through. Yeah, no, we talk about soccer. We talk about we do Champions League. We do England. We do Italy, Spain, Germany. And any miscellaneous other things that come out, like we cover the Women's Champions League,
Oh, nice.
cover a lot of women's soccer, international soccer, but big focus on the big leagues. We do it once every 2 weeks, so you can find us. Terrible, we're terrible at social media, but find us on Instagram at the False Nine, THEFAASE, the number nine. Dot podcast. And you can find us on there, give us a follow. All the links are there where you can listen on Spotify and Apple Music. And yeah, no, it's great. It's just me and my buddy. Every 2 weeks we get together and just talk about we get really nerdy into soccer. So if you're we try to make it funny, but we like getting into like the granular, kind of plays that make or break a game. And I'm also there to I like making jokes. So but yeah, shout out to my shout out to my co-host Mike, the engine of the show. And actually when we were told, I told him that we were doing this, and he said the song that is going to be my number one, because that's what, as soon as I thought, I was like, shit, that actually is. And then once I listened to the discography, it was like, oh yeah, that is absolutely my number one. So that's his we've got some good chemistry. We actually started being friends over hip hop music and Allen Iverson.
Oh,
So
nice.
yeah, so we are, yeah, we're in like that. But yeah, no, the False Nine Instagram dot the false Instagram slash the False Nine, the number nine dot podcast.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And as always, you can oh wait, before I go into plugging my stuff, I just want to say,
Yeah.
Neil, I do listen to the pod. I love it, False Nine. I have two questions. Well, one comment, one question. Comment is
Okay.
this: I have a couple episodes. I'm actually quite behind. I think I'm at like World Cup, from like a
Oh
year.
no, just listen to what you need
Yeah.
to listen to like at the time. But I
But it's
recommend
good.
go
It's
you can go
great.
back and listen to it. It's fun. Like actually we just went back and listened to a bunch of our old stuff in the pandemic. Which was interesting to listen to kind of get like the vibe of what was going on. But when, especially when there was kind of no soccer to be talked about. But yeah, it's all good, buddy. There's a lot of podcasts to listen to, like hundreds of millions.
I'll catch up for sure. I've just been like behind on podcasts generally speaking, but like I'll catch up for sure. And then my other question is 140 episodes. So have you guys got any merch or anything like that yet, or?
No, we don't have any merch. We just follow us on Instagram and listen to the show. Yeah, we don't have any merch or anything like that. We just come out here. It's a legit, like, don't really do it for like money or anything like that. Like, we just do it because me and Mike are old friends, and we just, and shout out to again BNB Media and Mark. He lets us use his studio. And yeah, we just go in and talk about soccer for like 2 hours once every 2 weeks. And you just do it for the love, man.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I love it. I love it when I listen. It's fantastic stuff. For me, you can, as always, you can find me at E underscore Freeds on Twitter, and also at Nattering with E, all one word, on Instagram. We're gonna have stickers again. So the way I've been using the stickers basically is like anytime I have a guest on, I get their address and then I send them the stickers. So
All right.
when I get a bunch in, I just put in a new order for a bunch. So once they come, I will contact you and I will send you them.
All good.
And then, yeah, I what else was I gonna say? I forgot. Oh yeah. So sorry. Besides stickers, don't care about anything in terms of doing the actual like merchandise or t-shirts or anything like that.
Right.
Like I've been trying to
Yeah.
buy. I've been trying to buy t-shirts from this place called PWTs, Pro Wrestling T-shirts, and
Okay.
the exchange rate, holy shit, man. Like a shirt that's $20 US after shipping and exchange ends up costing me like $60.
Jesus.
So I'm like, nope, not doing it. Not doing
Yeah,
it.
no, and I haven't used them in a while, but I got a couple t-shirts from this, I think it's like, I don't know, I got them off some Instagram, or like I was talking about, like, I want like this, these, t-shirts, band t-shirts and stuff like that. And then next thing you know, my Facebook and Instagram are just loaded with ads on these things. I'm like, all right, fine. T Public's pretty good. Like, excuse me, like I paid, it says $20 for a shirt. For the most part, it came back like 20. Now, this was also a couple of years ago, and the exchange rate, I have no idea what the exchange rate anymore. I actually just thought about it because we're going to Jamaica in a couple of weeks.
I think it's like a
And
buck and a half now or something.
I have no idea what the exchange rate is anymore.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
but yeah, yeah, T Public, I guess, is pretty good.
Cool, man. All right. So, what is your number one?
My number one is. Also from Amnesiac, Pyramid Song. Shouts to Mike. Yeah, it's like Pyramid Song is probably my favorite. And then as I went through everything and listened to it a couple times, like shit, it's number two on Amnesiac. And it starts off with Tom York and a piano singing. So he jumped in the river and what did he see? A black-eyed angel swam with me. Again, like a moon full of stars and astral cards. I'm just like, dog, I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds cool. It sounds cool. And like, the piano, like just a little piano stabs are cool. And then eventually Philip Selway comes in with like almost like a waltz-ish type, like not 4-4 time, but like 5-4. Like just it's dope. And then kind of goes on like that with the bass comes in, and I think Johnny Greenwood is on like a synthesizer or something like that. And yeah, the more I listen to it, I probably listen to it like 3 or 4 times. Yeah, this is absolutely my favorite Radiohead song. It's probably not the best, but it's my favorite Radiohead song of all time.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that one I have to check out. I'm still making my way through that part of the discography, so I'll definitely listen to that.
Amnesiac. So yeah, again, Amnesiac, I think it's right up there. It's in between some great albums. It's in between OK Computer, Kid A, and Hail to the Thief. But
Nice.
Amnesiac, it's kind of in the middle, so it's kind of like hidden. But Pyramid Song, You and Who's Army, like just bangers. And from front to back, it's one of those you listen to it, and it's only like 43 minutes. And at the end of it, it's like, shit, what just happened? Like, listen to it again.
If you have spare time, we should make like a Radiohead playlist. Like we'll collab on one on
No, yeah, no, yeah, no,
Spotify.
yeah, no, we can do that. Yeah, I think you added me to one already, which I'm sorry, I'm terrible. I don't really
No, no
listen to
worries.
I don't listen to music as much as I used to.
Yeah.
It's a lot of podcasts now, and like if I listen to music, it's more like DJ stuff, and that's really just because I'm at work and I need to like I want to hear something to get me going, but I don't want to listen to words. So yeah, I don't really listen to music as much as I used to, but the Radiohead discography deep dive got me back into I'm gonna go back and listen to a whole bunch of stuff. Actually, Prince is next on my list.
Prince, the discography or
The whole
just
discography,
nice.
the like I'm not I'm I love Prince. I'm sorry, I really really like Prince, but I feel like I'm not I haven't dug deep into the discography. And I respect it, and like everybody said, like Prince is awesome, and I get it, but like I need to just sit down. It's just like it's so daunting. It's like 30 albums, man. Like it's very daunting. I'm like I might just go and find a list and be like, okay, like take these 10 and listen to that. But
Nice.
yeah, yeah, you're number one. Let's go.
My number one is Reckoner off of In
Oh,
Rainbows.
uh-huh, yeah.
By Neil's reaction, I can see how
No, yeah,
underwhelming
no,
that is. But
I had that. That's like, and that would be like number like 18.
oh, okay.
That was on the list.
Yeah, I just I think I've listened to that song probably like 200 times. Like I based it just strictly off of like songs I've listened to more than 100 times.
Right,
And
yeah,
then
that's fair.
that was up there for Reckoner. There's been like a couple of different covers from it, but I like their version. The In Basement version of Reckoner is excellent. I also had Bangers and Mash like as a tie for number one for me, 'cause I
Yeah,
love.
Bangers and Mash was that was on my that was on my short list as well.
Yeah. So Gonna put
Yeah,
that in
no,
there.
in the basement. And so we should say that we kind of just took this list. I wanted to make it so it was just the studio albums. All of the other stuff, if you want to get into, like, you know, there's a lot, and a lot of it is just kind of like live versions of something. Like, no, like, what are the best studio versions? However, if you haven't listened to In the From the Basement, I implore you, do it. It's real good. Like, In Rainbows, they also did a The King of Limbs, From the Basement, which, you know, I like The King of Limbs. Like, Lotus Flower is cool. It started off slow for me. Like, Bloom, Morning Mr. Magpie, was like, yeah, whatever. But by the time it gets to like Lotus Flower and then Codex, if like, actually Separator was the only song from this album that actually Separator and Lotus Flower both made my preliminary songs. And Blue Chain Pool, literally just one song, because, again, like, I well, actually, no, Burn the Witch is on there.
Nice.
Again, yeah, like, later, Radiohead has set such a high bar for themselves that by the time, like, you get to a Moonshaped Pool, you're like, unless you're not blowing my mind, it's like, eh. But for a lot of people, like, a Moonshaped Pool is a lot of bands' best albums. Like, you know, a lot of bands' best albums is that, like, you know, a solid 7.5 out of 10. You know, that's a lot of people's best albums, you know, but you're putting it up against OK Computer, Kid A, and Hail to the Thief, like In Rainbow. I remember when In Rainbows came out, and I remember feeling underwhelmed because, like, you know, this is not blowing my mind. But once I listened to it, it's like, no, this is, In Rainbows might be like the easiest album to listen to, like, for someone who's not really into Radiohead. Listen
I'd
to
agree.
this. Listen to this. Start with this. They use a lot of harmonies and kind of like melodies and whatnot, and it's not so like fucking dystopian. I think he was either just going through a breakup or met someone, one of the two. But, like, the album is kind of weirdly optimistic, which is weird for a Radiohead album.
Didn't his wife die and like he got the kids or something like that? Well, like of course he took over the kids. So.
I do not know that. I don't know. Oh wait, no. If oh wait, I'm looking at the wrong one. In Rainbows was the lyrics are basically started, because that was also too, remember, that was the album, the pay what you want.
Oh, right. Yes, I remember
Yes,
that.
they wrote that out, and I actually went for it, and I actually went hilariously. I think I paid $10 for it, because I was like, well, you know what, like, this is cool, and, you know, I'm like, I get it. Okay, no, this one of the album, I can't remember, there's so many albums, and there's so much stuff to keep track of. But yeah, Rainbow, In Rainbows is probably the song or the album that I would give a Radiohead, someone who never listened to them, listen to this.
Yeah, I remember speaking of like underwhelmed by a Radiohead album, I immediately during your comments just now, I immediately flashed back to I think it was one of the very early episodes of False Nine where you were saying to Mike and you had a third guy for a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, that was our producer Mark.
Oh, okay, cool.
He had to step aside because BNV Media is doing big things. Shout out, they just filmed, well, not just, Paris Fashion Week. That was a few months ago. They
Oh,
were over there
nice.
filming stuff. Like, they were just in Toronto filming something. Like, yeah, BNV Media. Check them out on the web. You can find them. They're based in Halifax, but they'll come to you. They're do good stuff. So holler at them.
Nice.
But he had to step back because things started at, like, he was starting to get busy there. So, but he still produces the pod for us. You know, he produces a pod for us. He just doesn't have time to watch soccer anymore. He'll pop in occasionally if Newcastle is doing well. He hasn't popped in recently because it hasn't been so good for Newcastle. But that's none of my business.
I just remember one of the early episodes. I think you guys were struggling under so Neil's a Man United fan and I'm a West Ham fan, as you guys know on the pod. I think maybe it was like 2018, 2019. It was who did Mourinho was still your guy.
Mourinho was there. Yeah, Jose was still there.
So you were, I remember you were ranting on your pod about how, like, Ferguson gave you guys, like, this level of expectation where, like, yeah. Once someone new came in, like, first Moyes, then Mourinho, it was, like, it was okay, but it was not, like, your standard of play. So that sort of, to tie it in with Radiohead, it kind of reminds me of, like, OK Computer blows you out of the water, Hail to the Thief blows you out of the water, In Rainbows blows you out of the water, and The Bends blows you out of the water. Then you get to, like, if you go back to Pablo Honey, you're like, this would have been good as a like fifth or sixth album, but maybe not the first album they came out with.
Yeah. Pablo Honey was the manager before Alex Ferguson.
Right.
As you can see, before Surfer Alex and Wayne.
Yeah.
I'm going the wrong way. There we go. Pablo Honey was the manager before Sir Alex, who came in and kind of steadied the ship with the Bends. And then that's a very apt comparison, because, you know, I have Manchester United fan. I was accustomed to winning. I've been a fan since, like, you know, 97, 98, 99, started to get into it a little bit more. I ended up winning the treble that year. Really started getting into it, like, in the early 2000s when we in Canada were able to see it finally, because we just didn't get a lot of soccer on TV.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like, I guess, like, right now, we're, you know, the King of Limbs is, like, the David Moyes era. which, I mean, but, you know, that's disrespectful to a King of Limbs. A Moonshaped Pool, maybe. It's never gone to bed. They've never dropped a Mourinho, and they've never dropped whatever the Austrian guys with, Ragnick? Yeah, we've never, and...
Oh, well, that guy,
yeah, and the jury's out on Ten Hag. Mm-hmm. I don't want to turn this into a soccer pod, but I don't know about that. but we'll see. But yeah, Radiohead is always, like, that stretch again, from, like, the Bends to In Rainbows. That's the Sir Alex Ferguson era. And, you know, it's okay that bands, they can't do that forever. It's almost like it's like an athlete. They can't perform at that level forever. And now everybody else has their own. So, like, you know, Johnny's scoring movies and Tom's doing his thing. Ed and Phil, they've got their own solo things. I'm sure Colin does something, or he works with his brother. Like, one, mm-hmm. like, you know, they all have their, as you get older, and I can say this as someone who's getting older, you know, your priorities change and your life changes. So, you know, it's not, you know, when they were making OK Computer and Kid A, I'm sure they weren't striving to become the biggest band in the world. They just were like, this is dope, and, like, we should do this. And then they became the biggest band in the world. And once you get to that certain peak, you're going to fall. Now, again, Radiohead's falling is a moon-shaped pool, which is, like, I don't know, a 7.5 out of 10 in a lot of people's best albums. So, you know, if they were to never make a rock album again, like, they would probably be in my, they're probably on my Mount Rushmore right now.
100%.
Like, they would probably be, I actually, not even probably, they would absolutely be on my Mount Rushmore, because from beginning to end, Pablo Honey to a moon-shaped pool, like, it's up there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to close it out here. That's I agree.
That's it for this week's episode of Nattering with E. Thanks again to Neil, and if you'd like to hear a little bit of bonus coverage not on Visionaries Global Media, feel free to go to the regular Nattering with E site, wherever you get your podcasts, mainly Spotify or Podbean. We have some bonus coverage talking about soccer, so if you're interested in that, definitely check out